This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, in Britain, it has been a remarkable week, and perhaps the latest news is the most interesting. In a poll, a YouGov poll, published in The Times of London this morning, the Labour Party has overtaken the Tories for the first time for quite some time. They're 2% clear of Johnson. This is after, of course, a very Boris week. He went into the Commons on Wednesday and he announced massive hikes in national insurance, which is effectively a tax. And he managed to bring most of the members of his party with him. But the public is not convinced that the money he says will go to help the NHS post-COVID will go there. And indeed, they're not convinced by much of what Mr. Johnson is doing at the moment. Other issues that arose this week in the North, Geoffrey Donaldson, who is now the new leader of the DUP, has said that if it isn't scrapped, the Northern Ireland Protocol, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, he will shut down the Assembly and the Executive and there will be an election in the North. This is another problem that has its origins in Boris Johnson's administration. Indeed, they were the ones who negotiated the protocol that his friend Geoffrey Donaldson now wants scrapped. There's also a real crisis over migrant boats crossing the Channel from France, and the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, has really voiced some outlandish proposals this week to put a stop to it. We're joined now from London by Chris Johns. Chris is former chief economist at the Bank of Ireland and is now a commentator. And indeed, along he has a podcast, on the other hand, along with Jim Power, one of our own leading economists as well. Chris, thank you for joining us this morning. It's hard to know where to start, but let's start with that opinion poll and indeed your take on what the announcements Johnson made this week from an economics perspective.
Well, let's take the opinion poll first, as you say, and it's the first one in years which has put the Labour Party ahead. So one must always be careful with one poll. It could be a rogue poll. These things come attached with all sorts of health warnings. Indeed, they fail to predict a lot of things, not least Brexit itself. But obviously, Keir Starmer will be, I think, pleased with at least one poll going his way, particularly as he's had a bad week.
Yes.
And the main reason why he's had a bad week is that Johnson emerged as this big tax hiker in raising national insurance, which is akin to Ireland's PRSI. And a resurrection, actually, of an old-fashioned Irish thing. You might remember, Eamon, from 10, 15 years ago, Ireland had a whole rake of levies, and one of them was called the health levy.
Yes.
On income. And this thing that Johnson has done this week, is destined to be called the health levy in 2 years' time, when it will be a levy on all incomes. And so Johnson stands accused of taking money from non-Tories to give to Tories, from the young to the old. And although that's a crude characterization, it's not wholly inaccurate. And nevertheless, despite a Tory prime minister raising taxes nakedly in a nakedly political way, favouring his own demographic, his own electorate, at the expense of those he believes is unlikely to vote for him, Keir Starmer was unable to lay a glove on him, in Parliament at least. And the open goal that was missed by Starmer is that this social care thing has been brewing for years, literally years. Excuse me. We knew that Johnson was going to be making an announcement for weeks now, roundabout now, and yet Labour was unable to produce any kind of detailed plan at all of its own. So it's a particular example of a general problem. The particular example is there was no Labour social care policy on offer as an alternative to what Johnson was doing. And the general point is that that's true in the round, because although Keir Starmer says he's made 200, literally 200 policy pronouncements in recent years, lobby correspondents, geeks like me, and I suspect people like you would struggle to name one of them.
I just want to come to Johnson, back to Johnson. On the night he was elected prime minister, he said that his government would once and for all deal with the social care matter. And it is a serious matter. People stood, many Britons, to lose their homes in order to pay for their social care. Can you explain to us how somebody could lose their home to pay for the social care, even though they were infirm and needed support and couldn't work? And the choice, they didn't have choices, really. You lose your home to pay for the care you're receiving. This is, again, surely the ethos of the National Health Service, or and indeed the state's obligations to care for its elderly people.
In Ireland, you have something called the Fair Deal system, whereby the state does actually take a stake in the family home, but it's capped. And I think if there was one individual availing of this scheme, the state's involvement would be 25%, ultimately when the family home is sold following the old person's death. If it's a married couple, or a couple who own the house who end up in social care, the state will take 50% of the value of the home, but then will make sure that the person is provided for. There's nothing like that in the UK. The island has a much fairer, nicer, kinder approach to its old people than does the UK. Until relatively recently, and up until today, really, you're on your own. The state, if you are a poor person, the state will provide for accommodation, healthcare, and all the rest of it. But if you do need institutionalized care, you have to pay for it yourself if you've got a certain level of income or a certain level of assets. And ultimately, you will and this nearly lost Theresa May the last election, because it was the informal way in which, or the cack-handed, chaotic way in which it's done at the moment, which you certainly do run the risk of losing your home if you want to pay for decent care. Theresa May was going to formalise this and was going to enshrine in legislation the risk that you lost your family home. And that's why she almost lost the election that she called when she was riding high in the opinion polls. So Johnson is the latest in a long list of prime ministers promised to fix this, because yes, it is so electorally toxic. And this week he has claimed to have fixed it. I must tell you that he hasn't. The money that he was raised this week was not very much, in my opinion. It isn't going to be enough. Let's put it that way. Initially, it's all going to go to the NHS, not to social care.
Yeah, so for 3 years.
So what happens in 3 years' time remains to be seen. I think it's a very open question as to whether it's going to be enough. One of the peculiarities of the British system is that the central government, the London Westminster government, raises the taxes, but it's the local authorities, in terms of social care, that spend it. So there are bureaucratic snafus all over the place. It depends on what local authority you're in. And the system really needs wholesale root and branch reform. But as I say, I think that this is a holding operation. I think there's a few things going on. One thing that it's managed to do is stop anybody asking, well, okay, this was designed to raise 10 or 12 billion. What about the 350 million a week on that bus that was supposed to be for the NHS when we left the EU? Where's that money? No, it's interesting that nobody is actually asking that question, because these guys are brilliant at deflecting the press, at managing the press. That would be about 18 billion a year, much more than this one has raised. So where is that money? And as I say, I think that there's a bigger game afoot as well, which is that raising taxes now At a time when the public finances are coming in better shape than many people thought, the official Office for Budget Responsibility is the agency that is charged with forecasting the public finances. And already borrowing this year, it's still big, but it's a lot less than they and us and many economists thought that it was going to be. If they can get a lot of economic growth going over the next few years, which is perfectly possible, they might find that public finances are even in much better shape. And I think that sets the scene for what he, this is my speculation, and I think what he's up to is that he's planning tax cuts ahead of the next general election. But that's speculation.
Yes. Now, it was a cunning enough political move to say he was giving money to the NHS for 3 years. This is the national insurance hike. It was also cunning that when he went out to sell this policy, he insisted that the Minister for Health, Sajid Javid, and the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, came with him to answer questions. So they are, because they had no option, they are linked. And they are, those two, of course, are the principal rivals, should anything more happen to Boris Johnson. And there's much more that can happen, as we'll move on to in a few moments.
Yeah, it's really interesting that both Sunak and Javid tied themselves to this particular mask, because although raising money for social care is a good idea, as I say, the system's a mess, it needs reform and it needs funds. And at least it looks like it might be getting some funds, albeit only in 3 years' time from what took place this week. But the way they chose to raise the money through national insurance is just stupid. It's economically stupid. It makes very little sense. And no economist at all would support that way of raising the money. It's inefficient. It hits the wrong people. And it doesn't raise enough money. It should have been a simple rise in taxation. That's what they should have done. And so it's interesting that these economically literate, Javid is an ex-chancellor, Sunak is the existing chancellor, aligning themselves with this economically stupid idea.
Yes, and I mean, isn't it sort of, it's clever enough, but the other emerging facts this week about the Johnson administration are fascinating, and we touched on Brexit. He concluded a trade deal with Australia and Scott Morrison, the Australian Prime Minister, was in London to conclude this deal. And as part of the deal, Scott Morrison insisted that two measures from the Paris agreement on climate change he said they could not be part of this deal. And Johnson immediately said, okay, we will not implement these two key aspects of the Paris Accords, and therefore surrendered. For what, Chris? Because my understanding of, and Scott Morrison was quite brazen when he came out of number 10, he said, we don't do climate change in trade deals, and we don't do trade deals in climate change. They're two separate matters. And he was grinning all over his face. So he obviously got the better of Johnson.
Oh, much more than the better of Johnson. Don't take my word for it. You can look up all sorts of different trade experts around the place on Twitter and various other media. And they're all saying exactly the same thing. I'll give one such chap, a very well-respected trade expert called David Hennig, this week stated quite clearly, and I would agree 100% with this, that the Australia, that it's a great way to do trade deals, because you'll get as many trade deals and all those headlines about free trade with Australia or free trade with country A, B, or C if you do it in this way, which is that you give the other country everything that they ask for and you get nothing, absolutely yes. Nothing back. So Britain got nothing from this trade deal and Australia got everything that it wanted. Okay, with all due respect, Britain did get what it wanted, which is the headline, free trade with Australia. But that's all they got.
And it's also true to say, isn't it, Chris, that some of the food measures, for example, the safe food measures that are part, an integral part of our European agreements and the EU's approach to this, are very noticeable by their absence from Australian food, beef, I'm thinking about, and other. So this is a real surrender. And I believe it's going to affect the British economy by 0.0007% or something.
Yes. I think you could call that zero. It will have no effect whatsoever on the British economy. If anything, it's the Scottish and Welsh farmers that I think are probably most worried about this, but only in a few years' time, not immediately. It's the fact that Australia was given... It shows you just how hopeless negotiators these people are. And it's one of the interesting aspects of British politics is that the person charged with this negotiation, or the lead of the Trade Department, is a woman called Liz Truss. And if you look at the opinion polls of conservative politicians, conservative MPs, who are most popular with Conservative Party members, it's her. She is the most popular MP at the moment. And that's because she's getting all of these headlines, because they confirm that Brexit was a great idea because we're now doing all these free trade deals. There have been proper, sensible analysis is pointing out just how much Brexit is already costing the British economy. You will have seen that statistics out only today show that the rate of growth in July ground to next to nothing. The British economy has slowed down again, partly because of trade, partly because of lots of other reasons. So the headlines and the reality, there's a huge gap, there's a chasm between the two. But the way in which you get on politically, at least up until now, is shown by Liz Truss's popularity with the people that are going to elect the next post-Johnson, should it ever happen, leader of the Conservative Party.
Yeah, she is very, very right-wing indeed. Now,
hardliner, yes.
Hardliner. Let's just turn to the immigrant problem, which, as Home Secretary Priti Patel is in charge of. And this week she has been floating a range of measures to stop those migrant boats, small boats, mostly dinghies almost, crossing the channel. There is an existing agreement with the French. The French say they're doing everything they can. One of her proposals was that she had a wave machine that could create massive waves that would repel these little boats. And the dangers of that are obvious even to me. She is also talking about now today turning back these small boats and engaging the British Navy to do so. And that is, for obvious reasons, extremely dangerous. So there is a poisonous atmosphere between the French and the British on that front alone. But Priti Patel is not unused to controversy.
It's about the headlines again, and the approving headlines in the newspapers that follow from this. The Daily Express is a classic example of the way the tabloids treated this week. There was a front page earlier on this week with the left-hand side was given over entirely to Patel's proposal to push back refugee boats. And the right-hand side was a picture of the teenage tennis sensation, who is the latest British superstar, who, like me, is Canadian-born with a Chinese mother and an Iranian father. It's great to see the Daily Express celebrating the multicultural nature of Britain on the right-hand side of its newspaper, but somewhat ironic to see the celebration of the proposal to violate international law and to breach any one of a number of treaties by pushing refugees back. I mean, Patel is not a serious politician. This is not a serious policy proposal. It will never happen. If it does, I will eat my hat live on your show, Eamon. It will go the way of the wave machine because it's just absurd that Britain would countenance this.
Now, she was sacked by Theresa May, actually, for a grotesque breach of the ministerial code when she was in another job, another cabinet job. She is a very controversial figure. She is also British born, but her parents were Ugandan Asians, and they had to flee Idi Amin, the dreadful man, and they found sanctuary in Britain. So at least you would think that on the question of immigration, she might have some sensitivity to immigrants in the world that we're living in at the moment.
Well, pulling the ladder up behind you is a classic tactic of all sorts of different groupings of people. And I don't think Priti Patel is alone in doing this. Young people might argue that us oldies have done this par excellence in all sorts of different ways with respect to well-paid pensions and jobs and cheap houses and all the rest of it. But certainly Priti Patel has pulled that particular ladder up. I wonder if Britain, as it did in the early 1970s, when Idi Amin kicked all those Asians out. I remember them arriving, actually. I knew some of them. And I still do, actually. Certainly, I ended up being in college with several of them. I wonder if Britain has changed so much that would happen. Ironically, of course, that, you know, in the 1970s, we did have Labour governments as well as Tory governments. We had centrist Tories like Ted Heath as Prime Minister, and we had not particularly hard left Wilsonian Labour governments.
John Major is another figure that comes to mind.
Not from the 70s, but certainly he was
later.
He was later on. And one of the accusations that's been thrown at Johnson this week is that he's turning the Conservative Party red, Labour, and back to the 1970s. Because certainly he's not Blairite, because Blair never put taxes up. It was only people like Wilson and Callaghan that ever did that. And I think that's true up to a point. But as I say, I don't think you have to go back to that original thing that you and I have spoken about several times, Eamon, is that Johnson doesn't actually believe in anything. So that all he believes in is that if I can get away with it, I'll do it. That's it.
His policy on the North is now under serious scrutiny and is causing immense harm in many ways. But the most damage is going to be done if Geoffrey Donaldson follows through on his threat to bring down the Assembly and the Executive, to leave that vacuum there. They are a party, are they not, to David Frost and Boris Johnson, who negotiated the protocol with the EU. How can they now credibly reject it?
Well, this is where Johnsonian promises meet reality. And which side of that debate is ever going to win? You'd hope reality. Because Johnson and Frost, as you say, not only signed this protocol, they negotiated it. So they can never claim to not know what was in it. It is absolutely absurd for Frost to be making speeches, as he did only last week, in which he said that it's not just the implementation of the protocol that's proving to be difficult. I now disagree with the fundamental premise of the protocol. The protocol itself is the problem. And again, that's just absurd. These are the people that wrote the protocol and signed it. But at the same time as they wrote this protocol, as they negotiated this deal with the EU, Johnson is on record. You can watch the video if you want. It's freely available of him promising people in Northern Ireland that there would be no checks.
Yes.
That there would be no border in the Irish Sea.
Yeah, and he assured the DUP reassured unionists and loyalists by saying it would never happen. There would be no checks. And there are checks now, and they are proving to be detrimental to the interests of people with businesses in the North. And indeed, you mentioned the Scottish and Welsh farmers. The Northern Ireland farmers as well will be affected, I imagine, by the Australian trade deal.
Yes, and what's happened most recently is that it looks like a lot of these things are going to be fudged a little bit further. There were all sorts of looming deadlines for implementation of further checks across the Irish Sea, but also checks across the English Channel, actually, because there's been all sorts of derogations going on there to try and make sure that imports from the European Union aren't restricted unnecessarily. And it looks like these deadlines are being pushed out. So one of the things that I expect Johnson to do with Mr. Donaldson is lie to him again and say, look, we're managing to get all of this fudged. That's what's going to happen forever now. The little checks that we've got in place, everybody's getting used to those now. There are all sorts of reasons why goods are being, there are some empty shelves. It's not just Brexit. It's COVID and it's world trade and it's supply chains. Please just allow me to continue to fudge it with my European Union partners and everything will be all right. And the issue for Donaldson is whether or not he's going to fall for it again.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, now let me ask you about two other aspects of Johnson's week. One is he has agreed with Scott Morrison not to implement two key measures in the Paris Accords. Britain is hosting COP26 in November.
Yeah, that's right. There are suggestions that it might be delayed, by the way. Some people think that it'd be inappropriate for lots of people to be flying in at a time of COVID. But at the moment, it is going ahead.
So how would they defend? How would he defend sacrificing two key elements in the Paris Accords and go on to argue for an agreement at COP26 that he is likely to just throw in the dustbin?
I've no doubt the rhetoric will be something like, well, maybe trade deals are not the place for clauses to do with the environment. Things like COP26 are the places for environmental considerations. There will be a form of weasel words used, if indeed he's ever asked about this, because I don't think that anybody seriously thinks that Johnson is serious, A, about anything, B, about the environment. One of the reasons why he's doing COP26 is he has to. There are very unkind suggestions that his newfound enthusiasm for the environment is coming by his wife, who is a known committed environmentalist. Given that we know Johnson is not committed to anything, one always suspects any sign of enthusiasm as to what the ulterior motive actually might be. But I don't think that Johnson has any particular view of environmentalism. And he will push it because I think that there is a domestic element to this. And I think it is, it has become electorally popular. We are all scared of global warming, about its consequences and what it means for us and what it means in particular for future generations. And so I think that making nice noises about environmentalism at COP26 is important. But again, it'll be about grabbing headlines. Johnson's not telling people the truth about what they will have to do if they're going to get serious about the environment.
Now, two final questions. This YouGov poll that's out today is interesting in its own right. He has an 80-seat majority. What do the people in Britain, as we speak, and you've been around in London this week, does everyone now accept, as most of his own party appear to, and even most media, that he's just a liar and that he really isn't fit to hold the office that he holds? And the damage is beginning now to accrue. The row with the French over immigration, the Geoffrey Donaldson and the Northern Ireland Protocol, all of that stuff is accumulating. How does he stand with the British people? Is he a bit like Trump in that even though people know what he is, they like him? I saw that offered as a reason on Newsnight during the week.
Yeah, and there is something to that. We live in a tribal age where our beliefs and our loyalties are impervious to evidence and data. We know that in so many different ways. The Brexit debate wasn't about the economy or numbers. It was all about what tribe you're in. Similarly, in Trump land, also called the United States, it's something. So no matter what happens, there seems to be 75 million people in America that will vote for Trump, no matter what. And I think the best example I can give you of this is that people who are dying in the United States have been asked by analysts and journalists, people who have been told they're dying of COVID because of their vaccine denial, their anti-vax approach, they've been asked if they've changed their minds as a result of the fact that they are about to die. And they say, some of them are saying, no, I remain as committed as ever to my anti-vax position.
Yes.
That's how crazy this world has become. So going back to Johnson, I think that similar forces are at play in that people will support. It's a bit like tribalism in sport. You know, you always support the team, whether they're winning, whether they're losing, whether they're playing well, whether they're a bunch of clowns, whether they...
Whether they up the ticket prices by 50%.
Indeed. At some point, but there is a breaking point, isn't there? There is a straw that breaks the camel's back in all of these things. And you and I and other political anoraks have been debating for a long time now about whether Johnson's obvious, the way in which he is obviously unfit for office, the way in which, if he opens his mouth, we assume that he's lying with plenty of evidence to back that up. Would that ever leak out beyond the Westminster bubble, beyond the bubble of political anoraks like ourselves? And up until recently, up until this YouGov poll, the answer has always been no, that Johnson entertains. It's the old bread and circuses from Roman times, Eamon. The emperors knew that if they kept the people fed and entertained, they could do what the heck they liked. They could make their senator, as Caligula did, make their horse a senator in the forum. And I think Johnson, with the classical education that he has that bread and circuses approach to politics. So long as the people are fed and made to laugh, they will always be happy and not worry too much. He did benefit a lot from the vaccine bounce. And
yes.
It is widely said now that if COVID has come back in the UK, the incidence is quite high, and the hospitalization and death thing has not crept up by nearly as much as it did last time, and that's an unambiguously good thing. But we're still in the summer, and we're heading into winter now, and some anoraks are saying that Johnson is only one lockdown away from serious trouble now, that if an autumn or winter resurgence of COVID along with flu knocks the NHS over to the point where they have to reintroduce restrictions, the vaccine bounce won't just go to zero, it will go negative, and that he could be in serious trouble there. So events will determine what happens next. But going back to that point about how tribal can you be about your team, despite the fact that they're a bunch of idiots and they don't know how to kick a ball, eventually you will lose some support, won't you?
Yeah, there'll be calls for the manager's head.
Exactly. And maybe, just maybe, because there have been all these things that you have listed, including the latest tax rise, maybe, just maybe, some of that support is starting to leak.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for joining us from London. That's Chris Johns, and we're very grateful to Chris. To all of you for listening, that's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.